God has an encouraging word for us today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on the Holy Spirit from the book of Acts. It's so good to welcome you into this time of Bible study. Again, we'll start in Acts chapter 1 in just a moment. But Dr. Wilton is excited about something that's taking place on our website right now. The Bumps Are What You Climb On, a wonderful book from his friend Warren Wiersbe, is just an explosive opportunity to see how even those bumps in the road become things that God uses to move us closer to Him and better in the center of His will. Details, again, are on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or you can call us at 866-899-WORD. Our phone number, again, 866-899-9673 for resources or for prayer anytime, day or night. Now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilson.
Now, I want to say to you this morning that I'm about to share with you something that is indispensable, that you and I cannot do without. So I'm going to just come right up front here today. I'm going to say, I cannot do without the Holy Spirit. I cannot live without the Holy Spirit. So I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 1. Everybody needs to be there by whatever means. If you are using an iPhone and you've got your Bible app, open that up. Go to your Bible app right now. I use a hard copy. I got my copy of God's Word here. I also have a Bible app. I got several copies of God's Word, different versions on my iPhone. But I never bring my iPhone into the pulpit because I might have a rude interruption. And I don't know what I would say to everybody if my phone started ringing. But it happens, doesn't it? We want to be in Acts chapter 1. Now, my friends, I'm going to say something to you. And I'm asking the Lord to help me to know how to say this, because I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to say it again and again. There are three, before I even open the Bible, but there are three questions in America today that are absolutely pivotal in America. They are pivotal in church. These three questions I'm about to put out here just very quickly before I even start. Here they are. Number one, what exactly is sin? Who decides? Do we call a deacon's meeting? Do we consult the Pope? Do we wait for Congress to make a decision? Well, if we did that, we'd never get one, but I'm just saying, do we ask them? So now the question of sin in your life. So I could start, who decides matters of marriage, same-sex marriage, abortion, morality, name it, and in your personal life, who decides what's sin and what isn't sin? Number two, who decides how we should live? How do you make a decision on living? Now, I'm a Christian man. There are a lot of things that I can do and that I do. How do I know if my living out my life is the way God wants me to live that life? A lot of good things. But how do I know if what I'm doing is pleasing to God? Here's the third question. How do you and I understand God's judgment? Have you ever heard someone say, get over it, God's never going to judge people? Really? Who decided that? Have you ever heard someone say, you know, it doesn't matter, one day when you die, everybody's going to be okay because, you know, God's not going to... Who understands How do you get a grip on the issue of God's judgment? So, watch this now. I want to speak to you for a few minutes on the subject without the Spirit. Because what we're going to discover is that Jesus made it very clear that unless the Spirit, it's by the Spirit of God. Now, who is God? God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, right? God the Father sent Jesus to this earth. Jesus was here in person. So Jesus, at the time at which the New Testament was written, was there with the beginning of the church, with the disciples and with these men and women who were learning about him. And then all of a sudden, he was about to leave. He personally, because he was with them. So if they wanted to know anything about sin, ask Jesus. They wanted to know how to live right, go ask Jesus. They wanted to understand God's judgment and why it is that he condemns sin and will have no part of it, just go ask Jesus. But there was a problem. Jesus rose from the grave and then ascended back up into heaven and left them with no one. So now who do they ask? Did Jesus turn around and say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to become all these denominations, Presbyterians, Methodists, Episcopalians, Baptists, and whatever you as a church denomination decide it is what it is. So we're just going to let all opinions be opinions about sin and about living and about righteousness and about judgment and about what's right and what's wrong. We're just going to throw it open. Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven. I'm going up there and you're on your own. So just, why don't you kind of just get together and be wise and just be good and just get everybody together and you make the decision. So the Presbyterians say this and the Methodists say this and the Baptists say this and the Catholics say this and the don't want to ever be Baptists say this and the pagans say that, and whatever it is. Because you know if it is, it can't be it isn't, right? Because if it is, it isn't, and if it isn't, it is. So it just depends upon what you is or whether you isn't. Now don't ask me to say that again. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this is what Jesus said. He said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus said that. He said, I want you to know you are going to have power. Power, what power? That word power there means the ability not of your own, but by me. You are going to be able to do things, understand things, get hold of things, and determine things through me. I'm going to do it for you because I want you to know, even though I'm going back, I'm sending me back. I'm coming back. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to come back down on you, and I'm going to indwell you, and I'm going to fill you, and I'm going to do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. No Presbyterian, no Methodist, no Baptist, nobody of any denom, no person, no human being. You cannot do this. You are incapable. And if we want evidence of that, just look at us Americans. We're the most blessed people in the world. We are a people who pride ourselves on religious liberty. We base everything that we are on this God in whom we trust. We've grown up to understand these things, and we're in a shambles because in America today, anything goes, and whoever's got an opinion about it, that's it. I present to you chaos. Chaos leads to anarchy. Anarchy leads to godlessness, and godlessness leads to the absolute collapse of a nation. We don't need North Korea to fire a missile at America to tear this country apart. All we've got to do is take God out of America, and America will fall apart from the inside. I cannot go it alone. Well, it happened, by the way, in Acts chapter 2. Just the first four verses, the Bible says when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. One of the many reasons I've called our church to regather. One of the many reasons I've called us, because the picture of the New Testament church is the regathering of God's people. We are never going to get ourselves in a rut. Because as soon as you get yourself into a rut, years and years and years and years and years, you begin to simmer and sit down and you begin to regard yourself as the solution. God says, you're not going to do it without me. So when they were together in one place, suddenly there came from heaven the sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them individually. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in the tongues of other nations as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we know the rest of the story, and I'm not going to get there. We're going to understand this is how God enabled these people to be able to go out into all the world and tell them the truth about Jesus. You see, Jesus here loved us so much. He looked at us. He looked at the men that were around him, and he knew. He said, you know, I'm about to leave you and I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you alone, because if I leave you alone, you cannot do it. You're not going to be able to figure out sin. You're not going to be able to understand how to live, and you're certainly not going to be able to come to grips with judgment now and judgment in the future. I have condemned the prince of darkness. I condemn him. I condemn those who are against me, told us in John chapter 16. But you're never going to understand that I, the one who loves you so much, could at the same time condemn those who are opposed to me and who reject me. You'll never understand that. I remember one man saying to me one time in New Orleans, Louisiana, I could never be a Christian. I said, why? He said, I couldn't handle being part of a God who would condemn people like that. See, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't understand it. Doesn't understand that the love of God. Doesn't understand the incredible love of God that would invite all people to give their hearts and lives to him. That every single person ever born is invited to take hold of Jesus Christ and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And to be able to have sap which is in them that will enable them to do all these things by the Spirit of the living God. So, here are the three questions that I think, these are three critical questions that the disciples had to answer in their day. Number one, what exactly is sin?
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment with the rest of today's message with Dr. Don Wilton. But as Dr. Don is posing these critical questions the disciples were answering, I pray that you and I would realize that this day in which we live, there are many questions being posed to us. And how we provide answers is a part of our testimony. You know, one of the joys of every single day here at The Encouraging Word is that we send out an email from Dr. Don Wilton with a touch of Scripture. It's actually more than a touch of Scripture, but a piece of Scripture, a piece of insight about that Scripture, and an encouraging word that I believe could change the way you face every single day. We do it 365 days a year, and you can sign up online right now at tewonline.org. Or if you'd like to have a hard copy, a physical copy, those are free as well. You can call and ask for your copy at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would be excited to put that in your hands absolutely free. Now let's dive back into today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
So here are the three questions that I think, these are three critical questions that the disciples had to answer in their day. Number one, what exactly is sin? That's question number one. When you and I study this great passage here, when we go through the beginning of the church, when we look at ourselves, what exactly is sin, people? Mom and Dad, what are you teaching your kids? What exactly is sin? Here's the next one. How exactly should we live our lives? How should we live our lives? Everybody just quote-unquote, do their own thing. I want you to hear, listen, folks, we've got so much individual giftedness, so much to give, all of us together. That's a real picture of America to me. How do we live according to God? How do we do that which is well-pleasing in the eyes of God? And then, of course, number three, does God really judge? Come on, give me a break. Is God really going to judge those who have rejected him? Really? You got to be kidding me. You mean God, who's a God of love, how can you say God's a God of love and at the same time that God judges people and condemns them to eternal hell? Says, depart from me, you doer of iniquity, because I never knew you. How do you understand these things? That's why Jesus said, listen, the Spirit of God is going to come. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God does three things for us. The Spirit of God does three things for us. If you take the Spirit of God out of us, without the Spirit, let's just pretend for a moment that the Spirit of God is not in us as believers. So I'm going to say this for a moment. I'm telling you, folks, when I come into worship like this, I know that the Spirit of God is here. I can sense the presence of the Spirit. So when I walk into church, I'm bringing the Spirit of God with me because he's in me, every one of us. When you know, when you've repented of your sin and you've given your life to Christ, you have all of the Spirit, not just a little bit of it. Now, we can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit. I'm not talking about that. But the Bible says you don't get a little bit here and a little bit there. We get all of God, not part of God. God doesn't loan us an arm for the weekend and then take it back, his arm back on Monday. So when I come into church, I bring the Spirit with me. But the Spirit of God is also here in this place because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we got hundreds of people here gathered in the name of the Lord and thousands upon thousands by way of television and the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry across the nation. We know, listen folks, right there, I can guarantee the Spirit of God is here. Would somebody say amen? I mean, you just know it. I've often said, you know, tongue in cheek, it's pretty hard to come to church recovering from hookworm treatment when you run headlong into the Spirit of God. God the Spirit is here. That's what he's doing. He's powerful and he's moving. So let's just imagine for a minute that he wasn't here. Without the Spirit. Number one, without the Spirit, there can be no conviction of sin. I've just explained the world to you. I've just explained you to you. Can be no conviction of sin. 35 years ago, I was preaching in Pensacola, Florida. Massive outpouring in this crusade that I was preaching in, and on a Monday night, a man walked down the aisle and I prayed with him, gave his life to Christ. The next night, same revival meeting, I was privileged to be preaching, and the same man came down the aisle. And I thought, you know, I obviously didn't teach him right, and he doesn't understand that he's given his heart to Jesus. And so I went, sat down with him and intercepted and wanted to help him to understand his new walk. And he said, no, Dr. Wilton, he said, that's not the issue. He said, I'm back here again because of something that happened last night. He said, you see, you know, 15 years ago, I went through a terrible divorce. He said, it was a terrible divorce. He said, it was so bad. He said, both my ex-wife and I, we both vowed, if that's what it means to be married, we never going to get married again. Never. Never going to get married again. If that's what it means to be married, we want no part of it. And he said, so about 8 years ago, I met this lady here in Pensacola, fell in love with her, but I'd made a vow I'd never get married again. So we just moved in together. They'd fallen in love. They just moved in together. What's wrong with that, you know? Who cares? They love each other, move in together. And this pastor from this church came to see me because he knew me, because I was part of that church. He said, I got so angry with him, I threw him out of my house. He said, you don't ever come in here and tell me whether I should or shouldn't, and who said that sin anyway? I love her. I love her. That's all that matters. What's wrong with that? Is this the unpardonable sin? To move in, not be married? What's wrong with that? I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, get a life. I mean, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with, what's wrong with if you just move in? Who cares? What's wrong with that? Does it sound familiar to you? Threw the pastor out. I said, well, tell me the rest of the story quickly. He said, well, last night, he said, I ran headlong into Jesus. He said, I gave my life to Christ. He said, I went back to my home, and there was the lady that I've been living with for 8 years. He said, I love her. She loves me. And he said, but for the first time in my life, when I walked through the door, it's not that I didn't love her any less. He said, but all of a sudden, I can't explain it. I just knew that us living together without marriage in the eyes of God was sin. And he said, I walked over and knelt down. I said, sweetheart, I love you to bits. Nothing's changed. He said, but I can't explain it to you. We can't do this. Will you marry me? And he said, not only that, he said, but I ended up leading her to give her heart to Jesus and said to me, Brother Don, when you look, she's in the balcony. She's going to come down and tell you the story all over again. And you know, that same pastor called me about 10 weeks later and he said to me, Brother Don, he said, we've just had a wonderful, beautiful Christian wedding in our church. How are you doing? You know who did that? The Holy Spirit did that. See, I can stand here today, which I hope I don't ever point a finger at you. I've got three big ones pointing back at me. Where do we stand, folks, as a church? We need a deacon's meeting? Who decides what's sin? God does. His word does. I don't spend 30 seconds debating people. Not 30 seconds. Debating people when it comes to sin. What does God say? So what does God say about what you're doing right now? And ask you what your mama thinks, or your daddy, or you, or how comfortable you are, or whether or not someone would mind, or what your church's teachings are. It's irrelevant. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no conviction of sin. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no power to convict of righteousness. There's no power to be convicted of sin. There's no power to be convicted of righteousness. Now that little word righteousness there, just take the first part of that word, R-I-G-H-T, right living. Righteousness is living right, watch this, according to God's standard. See, I'm a child of God. Now I want you to know that I try very hard not to let you down. I really do. And I know that I do. And I apologize sincerely for that. I try very hard. How do I live my life in line with the righteousness and the holiness of God? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, I cannot do it. Number three. You take the Spirit out of here, out of my life, your life, the church's life. There's no power to convict us concerning judgment. We're not going to see how God judges, and we're not going to understand how God loves, and we're not going to accept what God does. We need God's power, the power of His conviction about sin. We need the power of His conviction about righteousness, righteous living. We need the power of his conviction concerning the judgment of God. And when we meet those three, when I'm convicted of my sin because of God, when I'm convicted concerning righteousness, when I'm convicted concerning judgment, it puts me where I need to be in light of who God is.
What a powerful message from Dr. Don. And isn't it true that when we open God's Word, the illumination of the truth of Scripture helps reveal some things that we need to make adjustments on? Is there a course correction that you need to make? Would you like to have someone to pray with you and pray for you in that course correction? Maybe even it's a new beginning, a brand new Genesis, so to speak. Oh, how we'd love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. But perhaps the most important decision to be made is what Dr. Don's going to share with you next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If the Lord has spoken to you today through the Bible teaching of Dr. Wilton or his challenge even moments ago, and you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, or maybe rededicated your life to Christ, we have some wonderful free resources we would love to put in your hands. You need to let us know. You need to let us pray with you and pray for you and celebrate with you as we welcome you to the family of God. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org, where you'll discover great resources like this.
While many people around the world are at home with their children and grandchildren during this time of crisis, we cannot forget about their spiritual nurturing. Children need to be equipped and prayed for before they go back out into the world. With your gift of $25 per book to the Encouraging Word, we will send you a copy of Bedtime Devotions with Jesus Bible. This resource will help equip parents to share the good news with their children. This special Bible was written by 100 trusted pastors and leaders, including Dr. Wilton. Also included are 100 devotional moments to help parents answer questions that children may have. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request Bedtime Devotions with Jesus Bible today. Remember, if you do not equip and prepare the next generation, the world will. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but oh, we've got more great messages from Pastor. Tomorrow, his message is called Joseph's Story. We'll be diving into Genesis chapter 50 together tomorrow at the same time. Till then, stay with us online at tewonline.org, or know we're available to pray with you anytime, day or night, at 866-899-9673. The Encouraging